I'll Drink to That, where we get behind the scenes of the beverage business. I'm Levy Dalton.
I'm Erin Scala.
And here's our show today.
Hey, this is Michael Madrigal from Barbalude and Balude Sued. In case you haven't heard of 750, you should know about it. It's a tool for wine buyers, for wine directors, for sommeliers, to find wines, to find the prices, to find the distributors, to do all of those things that you need to do in your daily job, to do work on your wine list. And I am a big fan of it. And if you don't know it, you should do your homework and find out.
Livia Larisha of Dea Cole here on the show today. Hello, sir. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Nice to have you here. So you were originally doing some student learning in Bordeaux.
I beginning my study in the wine on the in the winery in Bordeaux in an engineer school during 3 years in Bordeaux with a different period of training. And after I continue my studying in Dijon in Burgundy.
So where did you work in Bordeaux?
I have made different period of training in Chateau Palmer, Chateau Leauville-Lascaz, and the end of my studying and the main part of my work was in Chateau Cheval Blanc in Saint-Emilion.
But you weren't from the Bordeaux region?
No, I'm born close to Lyon.
So what was that like, seeing how that they worked and farmed there?
That was very interesting because that was, for me, really the discoverer of the world of the wine. And the way to work was very precise in the vineyard, for example, for the green harvest, for the to suppress the leaves, for these different style operation in order to obtain the better ripeness than is possible.
And how did you see the differences between an estate like Palmer and Cheval Blanc, in terms of left bank and right bank? Were there big changes?
That was just my beginning, and certainly I've not the view of professional to see the small difference, because very small difference. And in Palmer, I was only in the winery for the winemaking. And in Leauville-Lascaz, I was only in the vineyard. So that was very, very difficult to compare and to see the difference.
I see. And eventually you ended up working in Burgundy. How did that come about?
So the transition with the Burgundy was very exciting because that was totally different way, different style of world. Burgundy, that was big castle with a lot of people to work, with a very specific way to work. In Burgundy, we arrived like a family owned place with small structure, with small part in the vineyard. And in Burgundy, each part in the vineyard is like a garden. And with the small differences of soil, small differences of plants. And that was a big transition for me, and that was totally different.
And how did you end up there? Did you apply to work, or did you meet someone?
I have decided to go in Burgundy for my study in first, because after my engineer school, I have decided to continue in analog diploma. So by this way, I'm arrived in Burgundy. And at the end of my school in Burgundy, where we need to be to have period of training, and by this way, I have asked to Jean-Pierre de Smet in Domaine de l'Arlot to be trainer in his winery, and he take me, and that was the beginning of my adventure with the Burgundy.
So you worked with Jean-Pierre de Smet at Arlot for a number of years, and eventually became the head winemaker. What was Jean-Pierre de Smet like as a person?
Oh, Jean-Pierre de Smet, for me, that's really great guy. That like a second father for me. And he learned me, not all that I know, but a big part of my known in the winemaking, the precision, the quality of work, and all the sensations that we need to have when we winemaking for that. Which was really something very, very, someone very, very important for me for that.
And he had worked at Dujac for a bit with Jacques Sais.
Yes, the beginning of the period of Jean-Pierre in the wine was at the winery of Jacques Sais, in Dujac winery. And Jean-Pierre, each vintage, came in Burgundy to help Jacques during, I don't remember exactly, 1 month or 2 months during the winemaking, because he likes that, and slowly was more and more addicted to the winemaking, and he decided to stay in Burgundy and to buy a vineyard and to stay. And that was the beginning of the adventure of Domaine de l'Arlot.
Did you see the winemaking or the vineyard handling is somewhat influenced by the Dujac experience in terms of whole cluster or in terms of organic farming?
For Jean-Pierre, well, yes, that was exactly that. He was very, very influenced by Dujac's style of winemaking because I think he has drank a lot of wine of Dujac that was great, great wine. And when we drink this style of wine, we're obliged to be influenced. And that was the case for Jean-Pierre and for me after, because during the training period, that was an obligation to drink a lot of bottle of Dujac in the cellar of Jean-Pierre. And after, we were influenced by the style.
So. Influenced in more than one way, perhaps. Yeah. So you got there what year at Arlot?
I just arrived before the harvest, 98.
And when you were there, in about 01, they started to convert into biodynamics.
Yes, we have decided with Jean-Pierre to pay attention to biodynamy at the end of 90. I have beginning to follow like a formation with like a study in biodynamy in the end of 1990. And in 2000, we make the first experiment in biodynamy at L'Arlot. The first year, that was half of hectare. After, in 2001, we make 3 hectares. In 2002, 6 hectares. And in 2003, we decide to convert all the domain of L'Arlot.
And what was that experience like, working through that conversion?
Oh, that was very, very exciting experience, because during all my study, I've never heard the name or the word biodynamy. That was forbidden and something bad. And because when you make engineer school, that's very scientific. And biodynamy is totally another way of that. And that was, I was very curious at the beginning. And the first time I said, oh, that seems to be a little crazy, that a little strange. And slowly, when we make experiments, when we meet some people, we discover that's more and more complex than just the opposition between science and biodynamy. No, there is really a lot of things to understand, a lot of things to do. That's another way to the classic viticulture, but that's very exciting things. And when we're beginning in this way, you come back there.
Did the wine start to taste different to you? Did you notice changes as the conversion happened?
Yes, but very often we have the worst place to see if there is an evolution in the wine, because we are too implicated in the wine. Sure, I have the impression, I have the, yes, some impression. But the best thing is when your clients say your wine are really changed since 5 years, 6 years, you have more precision, you have more. Because we are outside to the winery, outside to all the experiment, and they say, oh, we have seen some things. And that's the best element for me, because very often we are too implicated to be, I don't know how we say exact, to have, in French, say, to avoir le recul, to see what remains.
And what about the whole cluster? What did you think about the use of stems? How did it affect the wines?
For me, that's really very important way of winemaking, because keep or not keep the stems, that was not just question of the stem. The question is the evolution of the winemaking and the evolution of the fermentation. When you work in whole bunches, you have very soft and very slow fermentation. During the 3 weeks of maceration, you have the fermentation, and the temperature increases slowly at the beginning. After, you have a long period of high temperature, higher, good temperature, and the decrease is very, very slow. If you work with the destemming, you have all the juice is free at the beginning for the yeast. And when the yeast beginning to work, we have all the volume available for the fermentation. So the temperature increases very quickly. They stay in the high level short time, they decrease very quickly after. So that's not the same cinetic of fermentation. And for me, that's a big influence in the style of wine after. Because when you have the whole cluster, you have very soft extraction. And you have an extraction of the end of the fermentation, and that very, very soft extraction for me.
And also, there was no cold soak at Arlo, so the temperature wasn't usually cooled when the grapes came in.
No, we have never made, for example, a cool pre-fermentation. No, never. We try to have good temperature at the beginning, around 16, 18 maximum Celsius degree. After, you have nothing to control because like that very slow and very soft fermentation, that go very slowly and you don't have problem of too high temperature, except some very small exception. But classically, that's very easy to work like that.
And what about the vineyards of Arlo? There's the two monopole. And how did you find them to differ, the Clos de Forêt and the Clos de Arlo?
Yes, the Domaine de l'Arlo has the luck to have two very nice and very important monopoles, Clos de l'Arlo and Clos de Forêt. And that was very interesting because two monopoles in Nuit Saint-Georges Premier Cru and maybe the two most opposite monopoles because Clos de l'Arlo is very feminine in style. Closer to Chambolle-Musigny than Nuit Saint-Georges in style of wine. And Clos de Forêt is very classic to the style of Nuit Saint-Georges with something more masculine, with more tannins, more structure in the wine. Two monopoles totally opposite. And that was very, very interesting to work on to winemaking, the two monopoly.
Did they behave differently in terms of how when you make them in the cellar? Did the grapes behave differently?
Yeah, yes. Since the beginning, the grapes are different. And when I was training in L'Arlo, my thema of training was to make analysis about the berries of Clos de l'Arlo and Clos de Forêt to compare the analysis between the two origins. And the berries are different. The two are Pinot Noir, the two are in Nuit Saint-Georges, less than 1 kilometer between the two monopoles, and you have not the same analysis at the beginning. Clos de l'Arlo, you have less acidity, less tannins, and less anthocyan in the skin since the beginning. And you find with the same element at the end in the wine. Clos de l'Arlo is less colored, less powerful in term of tannins, less acid than Clos de Forêt Saint-Georges. And that different style of wine, definitely.
And you also worked with vineyards in Vaughan, the
yes.
Romanée Saint-Vivant Grand Cru and
Les Suchaux.
Les Suchaux. How were those different than the Nuit Saint-Georges vineyards?
Oh, that's same thing. Since the beginning, when you're winemaking Les Suchaux and Clos de Forêt, you have difference in the style of the wine. You very often we are a little disappointed at the beginning of the winemaking by the Les Suchaux. That seems to be lighter. That seems to be. You have the impression that you miss something in the wine because it seems to be less powerful, less rich. Say, oh, that I'm a little disappointed. And slowly in the winemaking and more in the aging, the Suchaux back and say, oh, yes, really, you have something in complexity, in the style of tannins, that's more velvety in Les Suchaux. And the wines arrive later. Clos de Forêt, since the beginning, in the berries, you find the wine, the powerful, the structure of the wine. Suchaux, Clos de l'Arlo, you find the wine later. That's a long-term wine during the aging.
So like Dujac, you also were somewhat unique in that you made some Chardonnay in the Côte de Nuit, in Nuit Saint-Georges in your case. What was that like?
Yes, at L'Arlo, we were the luck to have a big part in Chardonnay for the Côte de Nuit because there is 2 hectares of Chardonnay and a very small part of Pinot Bureau with the Chardonnay directly.
So that's Pinot Gris.
Pinot Gris,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
in Burgundy, we call it Pinot Bureau. And that's one of the specificity of the wines of Domaine de l'Arlo, that the whites are Chardonnay 95-97% and just a touch of Pinot Bureau. And the white of Côte de Nuit are very specific, and in Domaine de l'Arlo particularly, because we can't compare really to the wine of Côte de Beaune. The wines, when you taste, for example, Clos de l'Arlo very young, the first impression is very exotic. You have pineapple, exotic fruits, and citrus, pamplemousse. You say, oh, what's this wine? And slowly, when the wine ages, it becomes more classic to the wine like Meursault and this style with the complexity of Chardonnay. And at the beginning, the wine are maybe less acid or less mineral than the wine from Côte de Beaune. And slowly, when the wine aged, they become more classic.
You were at Arlo for how long altogether?
And I stayed in Arlo during 13 vintages, between 98, that was my first vintage with Jean-Pierre. We have co-winemaking with Jean-Pierre until 2004, 2005. And after, I was alone between 2007 and 2010. 2010 was my last vintage in Arlo.
And how was it to be alone there? Was that a different feeling for you than when we were working with Mr. De Schmidt?
Yes, that was different, sure, because Jean-Pierre with me, we have very, very close relation, and we test together, we decide together all the elements of the wine to continue, and I think we have really progressed, and that was a great, very good period and very interesting period. After, when you are alone, that's different, but during this period, I try to be helped by other people who work with me, like, for example, Sylvain was my second in my assistant in the domain. He tests with me, and each time in the wine, that's important to don't be alone and to try to test with some other people, because when you stay alone, you can make great mistake, because you are in one direction with one view, and you need to have some other view around you to see some mistake.
If I were to sum up Nuit Saint-Georges in terms of flavor profile from other Burgundies from the Côte de Nuit, what should I be thinking about in terms of understanding a Nuit Saint-Georges?
Nuit Saint-Georges, so that one of the two villages for me with the most powerful wine, powerful and structured wine. A Nuit Saint-Georges, classically, so Claude Larlot was a bad example, but you have normally presence of tannins, good tannins, but tannins are present. You have a dark wine, classically with touch of paper, of dark berries, this style of aroma. When it's young, the wines of Nuit Saint-Georges are, yes, dark impression, classically. And after, when the wine age a little, the secondary aroma arrive with touch of mold, of ripe berries, like fruits with alcohol, and the complexity arrive. At the beginning, Nuit Saint-Georges, compared to some other village, that could be a little massive or... not brutal, but yes, that's more brutal if you compare Nuit Saint-Georges to Vaune or Chambolle. Sure, that's harder for me to approach young in compared to some other village. But really, the wine needs to be aged a little to develop all the complexity and to absorb a little the brutality of the beginning.
A lot of times when I tasted Arlo, I found the red fruit, but I also found a smoky character, kind of a smoke. Is that something you found as well?
Yes, a lot of people say that for us, that we have very often in Domaine de Larlot, in the wine of Domaine de Larlot, a touch of smoky or of soft, spicy, something like that. And that seems to be like a touch, characteristic touch of Domaine de Larlot very often, because a lot of people say us that very same impression. Why? I don't know. That's style of winemaking or the place. I don't know exactly why, but... lots of people say that.
So you finished up there, 2010 is the last harvest, and you went down and you had purchased a property in the Ardèche, which is near the Rhône, but a little further south. And how did you end up down in the Ardèche?
So after 13 years in Burgundy, with Florence, my wife, we need to make some things different. Very often we say we have just one life. And we need something different to change and to discover other things to do. And that was important to do something for us, because at Larlot, that was really a great place, but that was not our place. And since a few years, we go regularly in Ardèche. We went regularly in Ardèche to because we have a house for holiday, for weekend.
You had a vacation home.
Yes, right? Vacation in Ardèche. And when we are in one place, we test the local wine. We test the wine from Ardèche. And slowly and slowly we discover the local wine. So, oh, that seems to be interesting. And when with Florence, we decide to change and to try to find something for us, we have the luck very quickly to find one property in Ardèche, just the vineyard, because there is no cellar, nothing, just the vineyard. And very quickly, we go to visit and to see the vineyard. And 2 months after, we decide to change and to go to the source to change of life.
So you're there at Deacol, and when did you arrive?
So we have bought the vineyard in January 2011, so just 3 years ago. And I stay at Larlo until August 2011, and I just left Burgundy 12th of August, and we're beginning harvest 17th of August.
Oh my gosh. So yeah. As soon as you got down to the Ardèche, you had to harvest.
Yes. Just we arrive, we put all our boxes in the... before the house, and we go to the winery to harvest. We have no time to put the boxes in the house correctly. That was totally crazy.
Is that because the Ardèche sometimes the harvest a little earlier than Burgundy?
Oh, yes. The harvests are classically 2-3 weeks earlier than in Burgundy.
So what were some of the changes like? What did you find when you went down there? Different grape varieties, different soil?
All is different. First, the weather, because... and the difference of weather implicates a lot of difference in the way to work. In the vineyard, for example, in Burgundy, the first goal is to try to add maximum of exposition of the sun for the berries. That was the goal, because you have big problem of rot, problem of mildew, powder mildew. In Ardèche, that was the reverse things, because we have a lot of sun naturally, and the focus in some time is more to protect the berries to the sun than to expose the berries to the sun. Because if you don't have too ripe wine, too alcoholic wine, you need to protect the berries to have slow maturation and slow ripeness. And compared to Burgundy, that's totally different. And all is different.
What about the grape varieties? What are you working with down there?
So at the domain Deacol, our main variety is Grenache. After, we have Carignan, Cabernet Sauvignon, and just a little touch of Syrah. And for the white, we have Chardonnay. So that's just this grape we know before to move to Ardèche. And the red grape, the red variety, are totally different in the way to winemaking in compared to Burgundy. Same thing. In Pinot Noir, you need to have... aggressive, but you need to be active to extract the color, to extract the tannins. In Ardèche, you need to be very, very soft to avoid to have too rich wine, too big wine, because naturally the skins are very, very big and...
A little thicker.
Yeah, thicker
skins thicker, than the Pinot.
And that's very hard, for example, to crush the berries because the skin is so hard. And naturally, the skins are very rich in tannins, in anthocyanin. And you just put the berries in the vat, and one day after, your wine is already black. You say, oh, that's crazy. More colored after 2 days than in 3 weeks in Burgundy. And same things for tannin, same things for this one. So that means that you need to be very careful in the way to extract, to the way to make all the elements, because that's exactly the opposite style of way to winemaking.
And what about the difference between Syrah and Pinot Noir?
So Syrah, we have very, very small quantities of Syrah, so I'm not very good to explain that. But if we take, for example, Carignan in compared to Pinot Noir, so Pinot Noir is very delicate skin. If we spoke about winemaking, very, very thin skin in Pinot Noir. And when you touch the berries crush and freeze the juice very, very easily. In Carignan, you can push on the berries, nothing is free, and you need to be very strong to extract the juice. So at the beginning, we try to make the same winemaking than in Burgundy, and to keep a maximum in wall cluster to be very, very soft. But after the second vintage, we have seen that we need to be a little more aggressive to crush the berries and to certainly don't make 100% wall cluster, but less, maybe 70, 80, 60, I don't know exactly. But in order to have just at the beginning, to beginning the winemaking, because if you keep 100% wall berries, you have not just in the vat after 1 week in some time. So nothing. So and you have nothing to beginning fermentation, and that's a problem. So that's a good thing. That's exactly that we try to find when we go in Ardèche and when we change to discover some things different and to have new challenge for us.
So you have quite a bit of Cabernet planted, but not so much Syrah in your vineyard. And why would that be?
Yes, because the vineyard that we have bought was before totally, the berries are totally sold to the CAF cooperative.
Oh, I see.
Because the source of Ardèche is 90 or 95% product by the CAF cooperative. And 15 years ago, the CAF cooperative, not all CAF cooperative, but the CAF cooperative in the area decide to pull out one part of the Syrah and to replace by Cabernet Sauvignon because that was more fashion.
They actually removed some Syrah vines and they replaced with
yes,
Cabernet.
Yes, I have the impression that actually that changed in function of the fashion for that.
So is that also why I haven't seen Déacol wines before? It's because they were being sold to the co-op before.
Yes.
And so
yes,
they weren't bottled individually.
Yeah, Domaine Déacol don't exist before. We have created the name, we have created the labels, because before there is no wine. The wine was the berries were sold to CAF cooperative and mixed with some of our producer. And
so three vintages now, 11, 12, 13. How have those differed?
Ah, that's three very different vintages. The first one, 11, was the first. And big discover. As I explained, we just arrived 3 days before the winemaking and the beginning of harvest. So in 11, we have follow the berries and try to be not too late. And that was really the discover. The second vintage in 2012, we have able to anticipate the ripeness, to anticipate the problem, because we are arrived since 1 year. And that was more interested, but that was always a discover. And the last one, 13, we were in place since 2 years. We have time to move the direction of the vineyard, to add modification in the vineyard. We have beginning conversion in biodynamic, conversion in organic. And we have the first impact now of this conversion. And that was easier for us. But in reverse, during this vintage, we have big problem in the Rhône Valley of coulure. Coulure, that's the destruction of the flowers, but the bad weather. So that means that we have a very, very small crop. In some part of the vineyard, we have 90% minus than the vintage before. And so that's three very, very different vintages. But we're beginning to see the impact in the style of wine. In 13, the vintage 13, we have low yield. But in the wine style, we already see the evolution of the precision of the wine, and we have more minerality than in 11. So we're beginning slowly and slowly. We're beginning to understand what we do in Ardèche.
Do you think that the Burgundian background and maybe even the Bordeaux background helped you better understand what you are encountering or approach it differently?
I suppose we have different approach compared to people you have always winemaking in the Rhône Valley. Because we have our history and we are always impacted by our history. And we are maybe less anxious by the level of acidity, for example, because we try to harvest very early to keep good acidity and to avoid to have a high level of alcohol. But when we give samples to the lab to make analysis, the lab say, oh, you have too high level of acidity, that's too high. And for me, that's too low in compared to my classic references. And certainly that's another view, because our nose or palate or mouth is adapt to the Burgundian style during 15 years. And now we continue with this vision.
So you feel that you're harvesting fairly early for the area?
Yes, definitely yes. And some neighbors come to see us, say, oh, what you do? So we harvest. But why? Because that's ripe. Oh, you are sure? And they test the berries, say, oh, yes, that seems to be ripe. So I need to go to see my vineyard now. So that's not the case for all the people, sure. But because we have some people you are very, very precise and some. But some of her in this area of CAF cooperative in some day are, in compare maybe to the Burgundian view, a little far to the vineyard and far to the winemaking. So that's a different view. And
are there wineries in the area that have influenced you? Or are there places you've tasted at where you thought, oh, that's interesting?
Yeah, so we're beginning to have very good relationship with other winery. And for example, Mas de Libyan, Domaine Saladin, this style of winery. And now we try to test together to compare, to see, because as we are not at the origin from the area, we have a lot of things to learn about the grapes, about the classic winemaking of the area. And on that, very interesting. And I suppose that for the other people, that's the same things too. We have another view in compared to them. And each time to discuss and to compare the wines, it's very, very interested.
What about whole cluster? Are you doing any whole cluster at the new project in the Ardèche?
Yes. We work maximum than is possible in whole cluster. For example, in the vintage 2012, the main cuvée of the domain, like Griff, Miocene, Chapelle, that's 100% whole cluster.
Yeah. Were there any other influences that you decided to go into that direction with grape varieties like Cabernet?
When we have bought the vineyard, we have seen that we have 3 hectares of Cabernet. And we have not a lot of reference in Cabernet. And we say, so we have Cabernet, how we can produce some things different to the classic Cabernet, like in Bordeaux. We have not the same soil, we have not the same potential, certainly. And we have visited some winery, like Turley Winery and Fela Winery. We produce, if you speak, Cabernet, or Domaine Trévalon. And we have seen that it's possible to make a different style of Cabernet in using whole cluster. So that's the reason that we have decided to make the same thing, to work in whole cluster in Cabernet, 50% in the vintage 02. And for the moment, the comments that we have from our clients is very good, because a lot of people say, oh, but that's totally different to classic view of Cabernet. And we are very happy of that, because we want to make things different to the classic way, and for all the wine, for Cab, for the Grenache, for the... So that was really the goal, to go to Ardèche, to be free in the style of winemaking, more free than in Burgundy. When people buy one Nuit Saint-Georges or one Von Romanée, the people wait some things precise and in one direction. In Ardèche, you have no preview of the wine before. You don't know what you want to find in your glass, and there is place for surprise. And that's very interesting for me to give this surprise to the people who open the bottle and to you drink the glass.
So Turley in California, they're Cabernet.
Yes, when we have meet Larry, he explained to us that he have buy 10 hectares of Cabernet, and he don't know exactly how product it, and he discussed with Aaron from Domaine Fela, and they decide to make some things different to the classic Cabernet too. And for us, that was like a revelation to saw that Cabernet with a lot of fruits, a lot of great drinkability in the wine, but not with the sweet aspect or with the rich aspect we can find in sometime in Cabernet. Some things different, like easy wine to drink.
And what about the Chardonnay? How is it different in the Ardèche compared to how it behaved in Burgundy?
oh, so that's the same grape, but that totally different. At the beginning, when we have bought the vineyard, we have seen Chardonnay. We have said, oh, what's a mistake? Chardonnay in south of France, that will be certainly a catastrophe. So we have made the first harvest. And when we have obtained the first press, we say, oh, but that seems to have a good acidity, good minerality in the wine. And slowly during the aging, say, oh, but that seems to be correct. And after bottling, that was really a great revelation, and very successful, because we have the source aspect of ripeness, but no heavy aspect on the wine that stay acid. And for me, that's really interesting. And as a result, we have decided to put new plants and a new part of Chardonnay in our vineyard now.
Oh, really? So you're adding some?
Yeah, yes. That was next spring. We make a new part of Chardonnay because the first one is very small. We produce between 1 and 2,000 bottles, so that's very small. And in order to have a correct quantities of bottles, around 5,000 bottles in total. And after, we will follow with some other grapes, maybe more exotic.
What are the different bottlings that you've produced so far?
In the vintage 2012, we have 5 different reds. 1 white, 1 rosé. The different reds was... the simplest is called Le Rendez-vous des Acolytes. That's 100% Grenache, product with young vines between 10 and 20 years old. And the goal with this wine is obtain something very drinkable, very easy, fruity, easy wine. The second red wine is Cab des Acolytes. So that's 80% Cabernet, 20% Grenache. Same things. Easy Cabernet to drink, wine, engine wine you can drink with piece of cheese, of charcuterie, very, very easy wine. After, the 3 other reds are produced with all parts of the vineyard. You have Griff. Griff is 100% Carignan. The vineyard is between 50 and 60 years old, product with 100% wall cluster. And this wine very often is very, very... That's a revelation for a lot of people. Say, oh, but Carignan, that's crazy wine and crazy grape. And we are very happy of this wine because that's totally different than we can imagine at the beginning for Carignan. And after, the 2 others are blend between Grenache. One is called La Chapelle. That's Grenache, Carignan, Cabernet and Syrah. That we have the 1st different red grapes than we have. And the other one is Miocene, 70% of Grenache and 30% of Carignan. And the 2 last, La Chapelle and Miocene, are very close in the vineyard, 100 meters between the 2 parts, very close in the blend between Chapelle 60 and 30, the Miocene 70 and 30, very close in the blend, and that's 2 totally different style of wine. Chapelle is more classic to the wine of the south of France, that's rounder, riper in the style of wine. Miocene is located in place with a lot of limestone, white limestone, which called Miocene, and that gives some things, a lot of people say more Burgundian style in this wine, that's very elegant, very delicate, less ripe in style of aroma. That's more red. Chapelle is more black. And that's 2 very different stuff wine. That's very, very funny for me. For me, that's like a reminiscence between Claude Larlot and Claude Fauré Saint-Georges, between Chapelle and Miocene. One is more masculine, the other is more feminine.
Because the Miocene that I tried in 12, it does seem to me to be quite restrained in the way it drinks in terms of a wine from the south of France.
Yes, a lot of people who taste the wine in our winery say, oh, but that's in the south of France. That seems to be, came from something more north in compared to the style of aroma. We have decided with Florence to produce the style of wine that we like. So that means why it's not too high in alcohol, very fruity, very approachable wine. And for this way, we have decided to harvest early when the fruits are ripe, but not overripe, just to keep the freshness of the fruit and keep a good level of acidity, same things to get the freshness, to keep the freshness in the wine.
And the wines do seem, although I would say something like the Miocene is restrained, they do seem very approachable on release in terms of I feel like I could drink the wine right away. Is it a difference between that and the Nuit Saint-George experience?
Yes, because I have produced a Nuit Saint-George during close to 15 years, and that was very hard job to explain to the people to keep the wine in cellar, to keep 10 years before to drink. And now we produce vin de l'Ardèche or vin de France. And if we explain to people to keep it 10 years, that's impossible. No, the people want to buy the bottle, open the bottle and drink it. And that's really the goal with our wines. We can drink young. I suppose that wine like Meyersen or Chapelle or Griff could be keep 5 years, maybe more in cellar. I hope. But we can drink young. We can wait, certainly. But now we need time to see the evolution of the wine, to see how long we can keep it. But that's not the goal. That's not the focus in the winemaking.
When I've tried the wines before, they almost struck me in a way to be a little bit kind of like a natural wine character. What's the yeast regime like? Are you using cultured yeast or is it natural?
We always work with native yeast and indigenous yeast. We never add yeast. We never add enzyme. No, we just use berries and just a little touch of sulfates, but minimum than is possible. Not overproduct in the wine. For me, the wine must to be berries.
And it doesn't seem very filtered. It seems unfiltered in style. Is that true? Or?
Yes, unfiltered, no fining. Sure, close to natural wine, more than is possible.
At our low, you didn't do a cold soak, and you took the grapes in, and as long as they were fairly cold, you started the fermentation with no temperature change to the grapes. Is that possible in the south of France where it's a bit warmer, or have you had to make changes to the temperature of the grapes after harvest?
Yes, one of the problems in the south of France is the temperature when we harvest. Because very often we're beginning harvest in August, mid-August, end of August. And at this period, the weather is very warm. We have 30 degrees centigrade the afternoon. So in order to avoid problem of temperature, we just harvest the morning until 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, the beginning of the afternoon. And the other way, in order to avoid to have too warm berries, and that one of the change between vintage 11 and 12, we harvest by hand. We put the berries in small boxes, and directly after, we put the boxes in a fridge. We have buy a fridge in a truck, in order to keep the berries in cool temperature, and to move the berries until the winery in this cool temperature. And as a result, we put the berries directly at a good temperature in the vat. We are not obliged to use your system to less temperature after. The goal is to put the berries in good temperature and don't move the juice after that.
And inside of France, what is the view of the Ardèche today? There do seem to be standout states in the Luberon and in the Ardèche in general. But, you know, you're in the South Ardèche. What's it like to sell the wines inside of France?
Yeah. In South Ardèche, until 10 years, nobody knows the wine of South Ardèche because that was the place of the big calf cooperative with big quantities of wine. And now, slowly and slowly, young people go out the calf cooperative and beginning to make own domain. And more people spoke about Ardèche. And in France, there is some magazine we spoke about Ardèche. More and more. So that's a good way for us. And I think there is a lot of things very interesting because in Ardèche, that shows that the south of France, but we are on the border of a mountain which is called Massif Central. And Massif Central in Ardèche gives some things a little more cooler than more in the south of France. So that gives some things in the wine that we have the way to have some things less alcoholic, a little less fresh, and maybe more approachable.
Did you find the level of visitors to the estate to be different than when you were in Burgundy? I would imagine less people will come from international.
Sure, we have not the same quantities of people in Ardèche than in Burgundy. But in the winery, we have the luck now to see some people comes from Burgundy, say, oh, we have heard that you have something interesting in Ardèche, and that's funny. But Ardèche is very touristic, but not for the wine like in Burgundy. That's touristic for the because that's very wild. We have a river, you can make canyoning, something like that. But that's not a great place in Sous-Ardèche for the wine tourism. For the moment.
And someone that seems to have visited you in the Ardèche is your importer, Daniel Jonas, who you also worked with at Arlo. Has that been an important relationship for you?
Yes, because Daniel is something very, very important for me. He's one of the most famous tester for me, and his opinion is very important. And when he came the first time in Ardèche, that was the first professional who came to test our wines, and that was big, big pressure for us because his opinion is very important. And when he say us that he likes the wine, we are very happy. And Daniel is very royal, and he decided to follow us and to import wine in New York with Michael Skernick company. And he was an importer of Arlo since the beginning, and he continues the history and the adventure with us, and we are very happy of that.
And what about your wife, Florence? Because you had mentioned that you didn't like so much to make wine by yourself, and it seems like this is a project in the Ardèche that you're doing together with your wife. What's she like to work with?
Yes, that was very important for us, because in Burgundy we work just a little together, but that was not a project together, and that's very important to make a project together, to follow. That's like a baby for us, the new domain, and to do that together, that's very important. Yes, and Florence as me make studying of engineer in agriculture at the beginning, and so that we are two. As explained before, that's very hard to be alone to make something. And in this case, we're two people to discuss, to decide, and to test. And that's a good way for that.
What's the goal over the coming years? You said you might add different grape varieties. What else might you be doing as the estate gets older?
Each day we change things, and each vintage we will change things. For example, as I explained before, we have decided to destem a little more for the vintage 2014, like that, in compared to 2012, in order to have juice in the vat to beginning quicker the fermentation, to be a little more quick in the style of fermentation in compared to the beginning.
Yeah. Olivier Lariche, he's just beginning at Déacol, but good things so far, and looking forward to the future.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much, sir, for being on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Olivier Lariche of Déacol.
Hey, everybody, it's Erin. I love talking to you every week on The Warm-Up, and I have a fun idea for a future warm-up, but don't tell Levy. Okay, so I want to get the funniest comments on iTunes, and I'm going to have them read by interesting actors and like people with crazy voices. So if you want your comment to be read on a warm-up, just make sure it's super funny and leave it on iTunes, and then I'm going to go through them all, and it's going to be like 10 minutes of hilarity. And we'll surprise Levy. It'll be super funny. Okay, I'll see you on iTunes in the comments section.
Hey, this is Michael Madrigal from Barbalud and Balud Sud. In case you haven't heard of 750, you should know about it. It's a tool for wine buyers, for wine directors, for sommeliers to find wines, to find the prices, to find the distributors, to do all of those things that you need to do in your daily job. To do work on your wine list. And I am a big fan of it. And if you don't know it, you should do your homework and find out.
The big news for the podcast in 2014, retail partnership, my friend. The wines we care about from the folks who are on the show offered to you by the excellent team at Vine Wine. Go to vine-wine.com for more information about what we're up to and to find the wines. That's vine-wine.com. Check it out. Cheers.
And that's our episode of I'll Drink to That. We release a new show each Tuesday and every other Friday. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or stream it off our own dedicated website, I'll drink to that pod.com. No apostrophe. Thanks for listening.